Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-Joyce talk show host. There's an article out in Nature, the latest edition of Nature, and it has to do with, well, they're investigating what's going on when somebody's on an operating table and the hospital patient is resuscitated on the verge of death. And when they come to, they speak of a light, and they were being drawn toward the light. You've heard those stories, right? Or people who say they're in the morgue or they're on the operating table and they die, and then they're hovering over their bodies and they see the doctor and they see themselves. And go to the light. Go to the light. Get away from the light. Baby, don't go near the light. You know all those stories? And what's going on when that's all happening? Well, this study by researchers, they say as they study the brain, they begin to figure out by studying the electrical impulses in the brain, what parts of the brain do what things. And apparently they've named a certain part of the brain. They've named it the angular gyrus, the angular gyrus. And they say that part of the brain analyzes sensory information, like your senses, coming in from your own body. So your brain, you know, some of your sensory information is giving you information about the world around you, like your eyesight goes through your optic nerve and your brain processes all these electrical signals and you figure out what's out there. But then you also have sensory information coming to you from within your own body and on your own body. So if you're getting hot, your brain figures out, hey, I'm overheating. Or if you're hungry, your brain says, hey, you're hungry. Or if there's a pinprick in your side, hey, what's that? And so they say that there's this angular gyrus part of the brain that analyzes sensory information to give you an idea of what's going on with your own body, and that researchers believe that when you're in a near-death experience, that this part of the brain might end up misfiring. So it's misfiring, and you're getting this sensation of a bright light or hovering over your body and looking at your body. So that's interesting. I find that interesting. And who knows whether this early research is onto something or not. But as far as the people that almost die and then they're resuscitated and they come back and they said, well, I was dead and I saw the pearly gates or whatever. I saw hell and now I came back. No. No, they're misinterpreting something. Either they had seen movies or heard of stories like that, and when they were nearly dead, just like when you sleep, you can dream and you can wake up thinking, was that real or was that a dream? And not be sure. Well, obviously, the same thing could happen regardless of these researchers. The same thing could happen when you almost die. And you come to, and the things that you remembered, was it real or was it Memorex? How do you remember? How do you know? The Apostle Paul had a vision of heaven, and he said that whether it was actual, whether he was actually seeing it, whether he was actually there, or it was a vision, he couldn't tell. And the same thing with dreams. Sometimes they're so real, you wake up and you think, was that a dream? Did I win the lottery yesterday, or was that a dream? Well, when the Bible said, warning, 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 Will Robinson, for those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob Enyart Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public, so this warning gives you fair notice, raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. All right, the Apostle Paul wrote two things in the New Testament. Hey, he wrote a big chunk of the New Testament. And he wrote, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's when a righteous person dies, when a Christian dies, a true Christian, not a phony Christian, not a wolf in sheep's clothing Christian, not a you called me Lord, Lord, but I never knew you Christian, depart from me into everlasting fire. See, Jesus is not nicer than God. Jesus is Jesus. Anyway, when a real Christian dies, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You go right to heaven. Do not pass go. Do not go to purgatory. Do not collect $200. Go right to heaven. Paul wrote, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But then the book of Hebrews tells us, chapter 10, is that chapter 10? Where is that? Where it says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. It is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. So that's what happens when the wicked die. When the wicked die, the unbelievers, I know Christians today don't like to refer to anyone as wicked. You got to go to Jesus for that. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. You don't get to die twice. As a general rule, you die once. All right, let's go to the phones. In Denver, Grandma?
Yes.
Hey, Mom.
Hi, Robert.
This is Grandma Connie.
Yes, it is. How are you?
Hello, Mother. Thanks for calling in.
Well, I wanted to share something what happened to me yesterday.
All right.
I had we went to a most beautiful park in Colorado. We went to reserve a pavilion for our Denver Bible Church picnic.
Right. Denver Bible Church is having a picnic, a week from Sunday?
Yeah, September 29th at 1 o'clock.
Right after church. So anybody who wants to come who's in Colorado, come to church, Denver Bible Church, Sunday morning, and then come to the picnic.
Yeah, they're invited. Clement Park.
Clement Park. So you went to the park.
Yeah, with Michael, your little boy, 2.5 years old.
Yeah, Michael. And hey, Mom, Clement Park, that's right at Columbine, right?
Yes. In fact, you park in the parking lot, got permission to park in the high school parking lot.
So you park at Columbine.
And we're right there.
And then you just walk right into the park, and that's where.
50 feet, and we had about tables for like 100 people.
Great.
So it's going to be great. But while we're walking around, I reserved it, and Michael being so good, as we're walking from one pavilion to another, I'm noticing this couple, young from high school, and they were quite embracing. Their bodies were going fast.
So a teenage boy and a teenage girl.
Yes.
And the boy taking advantage of the girl that's not raised exactly right and goes to public school. Okay.
I just didn't like it, but no. I had Michael with me, and then we went to the little playground because I promised he was so good while I reserved in the office, all that work. So.
All right. Hey, Mom, we're going to a break. When we come back, you know, I think you should have said something, but we'll come right back. This is listener-supported radio, Bob Inyart Live. We are coming to your radio station, if you're listening in one of the cities that we're on the air, via IRN, Information Radio Network. For those of you who listen on the internet, welcome to kgov.com, where our radio listeners could pick up archived copies of the show 24 hours a day, anytime. Go to kgov.com. And I am honored to be the pastor of Denver Bible Church. What an honor it is that the families that fellowship there want me as their pastor. I really, really appreciate that, and it's such a privilege. And so I wanted to let those of you know in the Denver area, if you want to come out and visit Denver Bible Church, you're cordially invited. For those of you outside of the Denver area, you can call us up and participate getting our monthly Bible study tapes once a month. About the middle of the month, we'll mail you out a set of 4 Bible study tapes for $24.95 a month. And we could do this automatically each month, so they just come to you. And if you sign up and you don't like it, money back guarantee. We use the money to help promote this show, to keep it on the air in the cities we're in, and to grow and to reach more and more people with the Bible message. Or you can order the monthly album for $34.95 a month. Every month you get an album of tapes, And we have dozens of albums, whether they're on the book of Genesis or Galatians or criminal justice system or the plot or the tree, real fun stuff. And so you get an album once a month. Usually they have 6, 7 tapes, sometimes fewer, sometimes 8, 10, 12 tapes. So call us 1-888-8-NYART. And for those of you who are somewhat new to Bob and Yart Live, but you're starting to enjoy it, we had a call today from a young man from Oklahoma. Let's see, a couple calls that I took. One from Oklahoma and one from, where was it? Tennessee. Both from young guys who had read the plot in the last month or so, and both so thankful that they feel that now they understand the Bible. And it was so cool because they called up and I happened to answer these two calls. And they said, well, I'm calling to say I read the plot, and now I'd like to know, what else do you have that maybe I could follow up with? And so we had a neat chat. And whether it's with me, if I answer the phone, or any of our crew members here, call up, we'll talk about it and see what's next. We're back, Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So we're talking to my mom, who went with my 2-year-old son to reserve a park for our church picnic at yes. Denver Bible Church. And Mom, you said because she had Michael, you took Michael to the playground because he was so good.
Yes.
I'm glad to hear he was good,
yeah,
Mom.
Yeah, he's wonderful. He's great.
Hey, Mom, but you know, good kids today when you talk to a family and they say, oh, our 15-year-old, he's a good kid. They're like the brats of yesterday.
Oh, you're right.
Right? So today, good kid doesn't mean anything.
Absolutely.
So was Michael...
Well, what happened? He was so good, and so we stayed quite long at the playground, but I could see through the bushes what was going on. I mean, nothing really bad,
right.
But it wasn't good.
It was bad.
Yeah, it was bad.
Right.
It was bad. Well, I mean, not...
Right, I understand.
You know. Yeah. So, anyway... Because of what I've learned from God and what I know, I felt at this. This went on for about a half hour with pushing Michael on a swing and all. Oh. And I was going to leave. And I thought, no, I've got to go there.
Oh.
I've got to talk to them.
Well, good for you, Mom.
I walked over. I said, Michael, come with Grandma. I'm holding his hands. And we're walking to Pavilion A, which is covered with bushes. Hmm. This fellow was pretty sharp. He's pretty shrewd.
Yeah, he's smart,
bring
right.
To girl where no one could see them.
Right, of course.
But
right.
I could. So, and God could.
Right.
So anyway, we walked there. And as I was approaching, they quickly unembraced. And I said, oh, I'm saying to Michael, look at these nice tables.
Yeah.
And then we spotted them, of course, and they unembraced. And mm-hmm. I said, oh, hi. And they looked at me, and they didn't seem like get lost lady, you know?
Right.
They were nice.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, I have to tell you something. You're in a very serious situation here. And... I just think I have to stop and tell you.
Mm.
I said, let me ask you. Well, first I said, let me ask you to the girl, how old are you? She said, 16.
Mm.
I said, well, the way you're acting, I said to the boy, do you want her to be your wife? And he looked at her, wow, you know?
Yeah, right. Hey, Mom, that was a perfect question. And that didn't make her feel good that he was like, huh?
Yeah, that's what he did. Wow. And I said, well, look, I said to the young lady, I said, you should not allow him to maul you like that.
Mm.
Never. Save yourself. You are precious. God made you. You are precious. Save yourself for a loving husband. And also with you, you know why you're like this? You're not like this because it's you. God made you like this.
You mean you're talking to the guy?
Yeah, to the fella now.
Right.
I said, God made you too, and he made you that you want to have sex.
Right.
And you're ready and able. And then his eyes lit up.
Right.
And he kind of motioned, yeah, but she doesn't.
Right.
that's what he kind of motioned. I says, well, he did that. God had a reason for that. So you will have children when and blessed with children when you're married.
Ah.
But you, to even this scale, he made you with that wants security.
So the girl.
To the girl.
So you said to the girl, God made you in such a way that you want security, a relationship,
yes,
love.
You need marriage, security. And I said, and that makes the scale level. The other way, what if you both were up here? Look what we would have. Well, I had their attention.
Right.
Full time.
Good.
And Michael was wonderful. He stood there quietly.
Good.
So anyway, after saying all that, I told her to save herself. And
well, how did they? How did she respond?
Oh, she said, "Oh, I'm leaving. As soon as you leave," she told me, "I'm leaving." And he wasn't too happy, but he wasn't that upset.
Oh,
I just
so in other words, she was taking your counsel.
She was.
She said, are you saying that she said, I'm not going to stay here and let him do this to me?
Exactly.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
So, and then I said, and if you do get together again, don't be alone. Be chaperoned. Be with someone else so you don't get into these situations, because things are going to happen and you are going to be sad.
Mm-hmm.
So, Robert, I believe that asking God for wisdom and boldness, God gave it to me.
Wisdom and boldness.
Well, honey?
Wisdom and boldness.
Yeah, and learning from you with Denver Bible Church. Mm. See, when you know the right answers, it's easy to talk.
Yeah, and you could be more bold.
Yes.
Right, and this girl probably has hardly ever had anyone tell her that you need to wait until you're married.
Yeah.
So she needed a little bit of encouragement.
Yes, and that it seemed to work. And I told them both, I said, if you want to hear more about this kind of talk, tune in. And I told them what. And if they're listening, I wish they would call.
Yeah, good point. All right, so we'll tell the young couple that was on the precipice of disaster to call up if they'd like, 1-800-836-9278.
Right.
Well, the lines are filled right now. But
okay.
Mom, thank you so much.
I did want to say one more thing about this magazine, but I'll save it for another call.
What magazine?
Well, with Susan, with her daughters.
My sister?
Yes.
Yeah?
She sent her children, first time ever, to kindergarten and preschool in Illinois, a Christian school.
Yeah, in Chicago.
They sent home with the little girls magazines to sell, and one was a gay magazine.
Oh, for a fundraiser.
Yes.
So the Christian school, right? She wouldn't send her kids to public school.
No, Christian school.
Christian school lacks wisdom so severely that they have their kids sell. They probably also were selling all the standard filth magazines.
Oh, yes.
Like Glamour.
Glamour 17.
And Sports Illustrated, the pornography Sports Illustrated, and all that stuff.
My daughter, your sister Susie, was so upset. She's going to the school.
Good.
I said, Sue, don't go shyly, weakly. Just be bold. You're not going to do it. You're not going to let your children do it. But try to get the school to see it.
That they will never do that again.
Right.
Good, Mom. Thanks. I'll tell Susan that. Congratulations when I talk to you.
Yes.
All right. God bless you,
Mom. Thank you, honey. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. That was my mom, Connie, and who's just recently moved to Denver to be a part of Denver Bible Church and KGov.com, Bob and Yurt Live. Now we go to Westminster, Colorado. Jason, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. This is Jason Troyer. I just wanted to tell you a little bit about my day since I heard your mother call in and
Jason,
share her day with the audience.
This is like old home week here.
I know.
At Bob and Yurt Live. So Jason Troyer, hey, Jason, you also moved to Denver to be a part of this ministry.
Absolutely. Did it about 3 years ago.
From Indiana.
Regretted it for a minute.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay. What happened to you today?
Well, there's a local video production company here in town who was trying to come up with a concept for a new television show.
I've heard about this. Is Lee Strobel's...
Yeah, it's a show called Faith Under Fire.
Yeah, Lee Strobel is a reasonably well-known author.
Mm-hmm. He wrote The Case for Christ and a few other books.
Case for Faith, right, exactly. And so, I've heard he's taping pilots. In fact, Joe Scott is involved with one of these.
Yeah, Joe is going to do a segment pretty much the same segment I did tomorrow morning.
Oh, so you were debating. So you were involved in the taping of a pilot, and then Lee's going to try to pitch this show to some of the cable networks out there.
Exactly. Okay. Whether it's TBS, Lifetime, PAX, anything like
Fox
that.
Fox News. Yeah, okay, so what exactly happened?
Well, we had a debate set up, myself against a pro-abortion person, and the debate was generally focused on, is it morally acceptable as Christians for us to take pictures of women going into abortion clinics?
Okay,
or is
now,
that harassment? Is that, are we infringing on their privacy? Things along those lines.
Yeah, now this goes back to the Wall Street Journal front page article a couple months ago when Ken Scott, our good Christian pro-life friend, was on the front page of the Wall Street Journal along with his wife, Jo Scott, and other Christians who take pictures of women going into abortion mills and then post their pictures with their car, their license plate, whatever, on the internet as a way to discourage women from killing their kids.
Now, Bob, I've been doing anti-abortion activism for quite a few years, and it's hard to believe that we could be any more hated than what we are.
Right.
But when we started taking pictures and posting them on the internet, we're even more hated than we were before, which seems impossible, I know, because you've been doing this a long time.
You
much
mean
longer
all the
than
beautiful? You mean all the beautiful people notch the hatred up a degree?
It seems impossible, but they did.
All right.
The way the debate started today was the video production company did man on the street interviews and asked the general public, what do you think about this tactic that the anti-abortionists are using? And of
don't
course,
tell me people were against it.
Every single one of them, of course.
Of course.
So Lee Strobel asked me, Jason, what do you think of these comments? And my first comment to Lee was, the masses chose Barabbas.
The masses chose Barabbas.
I'm not here to win a popularity contest. I'm here to save little babies' lives. Well, and that's the way the debate started.
Jason, that was fabulous. That was
Thank
the perfect – we have the brightest audience in the country. That was so perfect because, you know, who cares about public opinion when Pilate offered Jesus or Barabbas, a murderer, they shouted Barabbas, free Barabbas.
Well, Bob, I have to thank you for that answer because I think I heard you say it before.
Well, I never was asked.
And if not directly,
yeah,
that has been said – and talked about in a roundabout way through the church and through your ministry and
well,
through your show. And
roundabout,
I've learned so much.
Roundabout, Jason, because I was never asked that particular question. But,
Hey,
that's great.
Now, and a few other questions I just wanted to mention to you.
Yeah.
Lee Strobel asked me, would Jesus be out there with you taking pictures?
All right. Now, I want to know your answer to that one.
Well, I said no.
Oh.
I said if Jesus came back, there wouldn't be any abortion clinics because he would suck them down alive into hell.
That's another great answer. So the abortionist would be sucked down alive into hell when Jesus comes back.
Well, Jesus came the first time as a sacrifice. That was what he was here to do.
As a baby.
He didn't come to judge.
Right, a baby in the manger.
Exactly. But when he comes back the second time, he will not come back as a baby in the manger, as you well know.
He's going to come back with a sword to kill and destroy the wicked.
Absolutely.
Praise
God. So I made that point crystal clear to both my opponent, Peggy Lunan, and the audience.
Peggy Lunan? Is that her name?
Yeah, Lunan. She's a loony, so therefore she has that name.
Oh.
Now, Peggy has picked up on this tactic, and she has started taking pictures of pro-lifers who are willing to go out to abortion clinics and offer help to these women.
She is a lunatic.
And so
obviously,
Lee Strobel asked me,
yeah.
He said, what about that tactic? And I said, Peggy can take all the pictures of me she wants because I am proud of what I do. I am proud that I go out there and sacrifice my time and offer these women help. So I'm not ashamed of what I do. The reason that this is such a big deal is that they know, the pro-aborts know, the women going into the abortion clinic are ashamed of what they're doing. And that's why when the women drive into the parking lot.
Jason, we'll finish this during the news. I got to go. We'll be right back. All right, hey, live commercial break, and I would like to tell you about our monthly album. For $34.95 a month, you could call up Bob and Yurt Live, and once a month we will send you an album. Now, what albums do we have? Well, you start out with The Plot album. It's just called The Plot, and it's fun. And then you get The Tree. The Tree, it's all, you know, what happened at the Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil in the Garden of Eden? Well, that's where all the trouble began. There were two trees in the midst of that garden, the Tree of Life and the Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil. And the Bible says that the Tree of Life went to heaven. And we talk about that. We talk about that tree and some things we learn from that Tree of Life. But then whatever happened to the Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil? What happened to that tree? What is its legacy? Well, God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden, and he put angels there at the garden to block the way so men could not get into the garden to eat from the Tree of Life. And that tells us that God had intended to leave those trees there in the garden for some time. So how long were those trees left in the garden? We know. We know with quite a degree of accuracy. We know how long they were there. And what happened to them? How did they leave there? We know that too. With quite a degree of accuracy, we know what happened to those two trees. It is astounding how much information is in the Bible about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Would you like to hear about what happened to that tree in its final days? It is so interesting, it will blow your mind. So that's in the Tree album. And then we get the Law of Moses, the Last Days, Details Galore, which is all about miracles and healing, Galatians, 1 Timothy, James and Jude, Jesus' brothers, Nicer Than God, Ruth, Debating an Atheist, Revelation. We have two albums on Revelation, actually. The first one is called Seven Churches, Seven Seals. The second one is called Seven Trumpets and Seven Bowls. So call us up, 1-888-836-9278, and order the monthly album for $34.95 a month. Welcome back to the show, Bob and Yart Live. I am Bob and Yart, pastor of Denver Bible Church. And you could call in at 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. And that was Jason Troyer who told us about his debate with a woman. I think her name is Peggy Noonan. She's a pro-abort. She's obviously a lunatic. Not only does she defend killing children, but she thinks pro-lifers would somehow be ashamed of being identified as pro-lifers. Can't quite figure that one out. But anyway, you know, liberals, well, their wickedness sometimes clouds their judgment. And then their distorted judgment often could be used to a tactical advantage by us pro-lifers. So our phone number, 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. So we've got this new research out in Nature with taking a stab at what's going on when people come close to death, and then they come back, and they think they had an out-of-body experience where they went up to the pearly gates or they went down to hell, and God says it is appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment. And you know, in the Bible, God gave the prophets and the apostles the ability to do great miracles. So many of them, he gave that ability. And he did that to add credibility to their claims when they said, thus saith the Lord. Right? If the apostle Paul says, well, Jesus said to me X, Y, and Z. Well, how does anybody know he's telling the truth? I mean, that's quite a claim. So God also gave to Paul the ability to do great miracles contemporaneously with his claims of having spoken to Jesus, so that those around him had some basis with which to have faith in his words. Faith is not, you're not supposed to take things on blind faith. Big mistake. Faith, what does the Bible say faith is? Faith is the evidence. That's Hebrews 13. Faith is the evidence of things unseen, the evidence. So if a prophet said, well, you know, I was talking to God, and God said, and God gave me these Ten Commandments. Well, how do you know he's telling the truth? Some people said, come on, Moses, we don't believe you. You're no big deal. We should lead the people. So Moses said, okay, you got Korah, you and your men, you guys stand over there, and Aaron and I, Aaron, my brother, we'll stand over here. And everybody who wants to take Korah's side, you go over, stand with him. So they stood over there, and Moses said, back up a little bit. Stand back a little further. So they backed up a little, and Aaron and Moses are standing over here. And Moses said, well, back up a little bit more, you guys. And Korah and his rebellious guy, they backed up a little more. And then God opened up the earth and sucked them down alive into hell, Korah and all his rebellious followers, all the representatives of the people. God didn't like the representatives of the people. The House of Representatives, God didn't like them one bit. So he sucked them down alive into hell. So that's how contemporaneously people could know that when Moses said, hey, I was talking to God and this is what he said, you could believe it. Because God did miracles through the prophets and the apostles, astounding miracles. Well, if somebody today says, well, you know, I died and I went to hell and it was so amazing. I went to hell for 30 days in a row. And while I was there, I started taking notes, and I've now written a bestseller. Oh, and let's go to the cemetery and raise the dead. Somebody who's been dead for a few days, so much so that they stinketh. So raise someone from the dead who already stinketh, and then we will have the evidence upon which to believe your other claims. But without that evidence, your claims are meaningless. It's meaningless. You could just be a good storyteller like Stephen King and have a bestseller. That could be it. You know, Stephen King has written more books and sold more copies than the most popular Christian authors who talk about dying and going to hell. So how do you know? What is the evidence? If you don't have evidence for something and you believe it, that's blind faith. And by blind faith, you cannot establish the veracity of something to someone else. So they have to take your word for it. So no, that's blind faith one generation away, one level away. Secondhand blind faith. And then they're going to tell somebody, and then that's blind faith again. Third-hand blind faith, and so on. Come on. That's not the way Christianity is supposed to work. Faith is the evidence of things unseen. The evidence. So what is your evidence? And if you don't have evidence, and you have some mystical story, and you call up Bob and you're live, and you're going to tell about how the demons turned on your radio and then the angel turned it off and the demons turned it back on to some stupid rock and roll music and then the angel switched it over to a Christian station. I'm going to look at you cross-eyed. My eyes are going to glaze over. And I'm going to think, I heard this about 90,000 times and it's just as unpersuasive now as the first time I heard it. From the first person and now I'm hearing it from you. So if you make claims like that, well, I saw Jesus standing at the foot of my bed, and he had Michael the archangel, and he had a trumpet, and he blew the trumpet. That's what woke me up, in fact. Blew the trumpet, and there was Jesus and Michael the archangel, and they gave me this message. Okay, so you tell that to somebody, and they check you off as a lunatic. And then you say to them, oh, and by the way, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Well, here's a lunatic speaking. What kind of credibility are you going to have? Where did God confirm your story of the mystical with signs and wonders? If you don't have signs and wonders that are verifiable, like Lazarus being dead for days, everybody knew he's dead. They went to his funeral. He stunk. And then Jesus raised him from the dead. That's verifiable. Even his enemies admitted to the miracle. See, that's verifiable. When you part the Red Sea and a couple million people go through, that's verifiable. That's verifiable. But when, well, I had a headache and it went away, or my one leg was a quarter inch shorter than my other leg, and now they're both the same length. Okay, that stuff is silly. That's goofy. So if your ingrown toenail goes away, that sort of qualifies as the silly, the goofy. Now, if you're born blind and 38 years later you can see, we want to know about that. We want to know about that. If your neighbor was dead and buried in the grave and your pastor raises him from the dead, we want to know about that. Call that one in and bring the funeral notice. If someone is on an organ donor waiting list because they need a kidney, like one of our Denver Bible Church members just a week ago was in the hospital because she was operated on and gave one of her kidneys to her sister-in-law, who's been very sick for a long time and on dialysis. And now her sister-in-law has a functioning kidney, praise the Lord. And the sister-in-law is about ready to go home. And our church member, she's been home now for a few days. By the way, the families in the church have been bringing meals, just like what we do when somebody at Denver Bible Church gives birth. One of the young moms gives birth. Well, some of the moms we have are still giving birth in their 30s and 40s. But some mom gives birth, and the other families in the church every day for however many days in a row, a family brings a meal. It's just a great time of fellowship and encouragement. So that's all neat. By the way, our phone number is 1-800-836-9278. But that's what our families are doing to the mom who gave her kidney. And she said, well, I didn't have a baby, but I did deliver something, a kidney. And so if you've got somebody who comes off an organ donor waiting list because that person was healed, we want to talk to you. We want to talk to you. But the Bible says faith is evidence. If you don't have the evidence, get it. If you can't get the evidence, drop it and go to something that has evidence, like the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which has overwhelming evidence. And stop making silly mystical claims for things that you have no evidence for. All right, when we come back, Gary from Ada, I hope you can hang with us through the break. All right, and we'll be right back to Oklahoma after this. So if you call us up and you're interested in the monthly album, the last break I told you what albums you'll start out with: The Plot, The Tree, The Law of Moses, Last Days, Miracles and Healing. We call that one Details Galore. You know why we call it Details Galore? Because we go through every single miracle in the Bible. Every one in that, well, it's a 12-tape series. It takes some time. We go through every single miracle in the Bible. Some of them are individual miracles, like when Jesus raised Lazarus, when he, remember the soldier? Actually, it was a temple soldier, and Jesus reached up. His name was Malchus, and Peter had cut off his ear. Way to go, Peter. Peter cut off his ear, and Jesus put his ear back. That was an individual miracle. Then other miracles you can't identify as an individual, so we identify miracles and series of miracles or miracle events, like when Jesus healed all who were sick in the crowd that afternoon. So that's a miracle event. We address every single miracle in the Bible. and healing in the Bible. Every one. We look at all of them and the impact they had on the people around them and on the people who received the miracles and on the believers who witnessed the miracles. We evaluate the impact of the miracles on every one of those groups, the people who received the miracle, the people who witnessed it, and the believers who were involved. It's really fun. It's called Details Galore. And then we have an album called Galatians, about the Paul's book of Galatians. And then 1 Timothy, that's Paul on wine, women, and such. Paul's advice and counsel on topics like that. Oh, yeah, and things like the death penalty and the law. Oh, and Galatians, that album. Why does Paul blast Peter in Galatians? Why does the Apostle Paul call Peter a hypocrite? Called him a hypocrite to his face. And he said that Peter was to be blamed because he was untruthful about the gospel. Whoa! What an accusation. Not only to make the accusation, but to put it in writing? And for God to make it a part of the Bible? Why did God make that a part of the Bible? Call us up, 1-888-836-9278 for $34.95 a month on your credit card. Automatically, you get an album. All right, we're back, and we're going. Our phone number, 1-800-836-9278. We're going to Ada, Oklahoma. Gary, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, sir.
It's good to talk to you.
Thank you.
I want to quote a Bible verse.
All right, we did the warning earlier, so right. You're free.
Okay, good. Galatians 6:6.
Yeah.
Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches.
That's a neat verse.
I want to share that with you because I have read the plot, and I consider you my teacher in the Bible. So,
well, God bless you, Gary. That's encouraging.
Well, that's what I wanted to do was to encourage you a little bit. I work in construction. I do carpentry work, and
all right.
I have he's a coworker, but he's all excited about the Bible now because I burn MP3 files off the internet, and I put them on CD, and I play them in my vehicle as loud as I can.
While you're on the job site?
Well, as loud as the my coworkers will let me.
Okay. Okay. So, Gary, you go to the internet to our website, kgov.com, KGOV, our internet radio station.
That's right.
And you take shows, tapes of the show, and put them on CD. And then you play them on the job site.
As loud as I can.
And so this one coworker, he hears this.
Well, he told me today, he said, I have this urge to go read the Bible now.
Praise the Lord.
So it made me feel good. So
well, of course, because that's the first step in reaching this guy. Assuming if he doesn't read the Bible, I'm assuming he's not a Christian yet.
Well, he is. Oh. But there's others that are not. I work with one fellow who's an atheist.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of fun getting to talk to him.
But. Yeah, you're not kidding. So anyway, the one guy's a Christian, but he hasn't been reading the Bible.
Right. Well maybe he doesn't understand the Bible as
right. That's typical. Hey right. Gary, it seems to me that the vast majority of Christians don't read the Bible much because when they do, it's too confusing.
Well, that's what I found to be true, especially in my community. We have so many. I talk to so many people in this community. Mm-hmm. I live in Ada. It's about 15,000 people
right.
here in Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
and they tell me that they would like to go to church, but they call them hypocritical Christians,
right?
Or they call them hypocrites,
right?
And I mean, I don't know if that's the right word to use, but. Ignorant Christians is what I would use, but
mm-hmm.
it seems like everybody in this community, they think that all the Christians here in Ada, they're hypocrites.
They're like out of touch with reality.
Yeah.
Because, for example, an unbeliever might know that if somebody rapes a kid and kills the kid, you should kill the guy. He should be executed. And the Christians, the mindless, nicer-than-God Christians say, oh, we can't judge. And we have to forgive.
Hey,
how could you forgive somebody if you can't judge them, you knucklehead?
We got into a discussion about that, too, with another guy who works with us, or he's been working with us here lately. And he goes to church, but I think he's one of those charismatic Christians. So he goes to a...
Yeah. I married a charismatic.
Well, I grew up charismatic.
All right.
Kind of, or Assembly of God.
Yeah.
I guess that's
same
charismatic
thing, yeah.
But let me ask you a question about the Bible. We got on the topic of the two witnesses.
You mean in the book of Revelation?
In Revelation.
Yeah, we talk about that at length in our Revelation albums 1 and 2, but go ahead.
Have you ever heard Christians teach that those two witnesses are Moses and Elijah?
Yeah.
I have too, but I haven't found any biblical evidence that that's true.
However, wherever you come down on that issue, you're speculating to some extent, and there's evidence that you could garner, but not conclusive evidence in one direction or another. And so you could make your argument, but it should all be in relative fun because it's not something that's vital. The book of Revelation just calls them two witnesses. But I wouldn't see that it's crucial whatever direction you go.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do you think they teach that?
Well, because the two witnesses in the book of Revelation, they die. They get killed. Now, for those who think that God is only love and nice and his followers should be gentle and soft and dovish, well, the two witnesses of God in the book of Revelation, when people come against them, do you remember, Gary, what they do to their enemies?
Well, fire shoots out of their mouth.
Well,
they kill them.
People with them. Yeah, they kill people. God gives them the ability. He gives them a weapon to kill their enemies.
We just thought that was so cool.
Yeah, it is cool. It is cool. It's like a Mel Gibson movie. You got the bad guys, you kill them. Mm-hmm. And so God gives the two witnesses the ability to kill their enemies. But then in the end, they're overcome and they're killed and their dead bodies lay in the streets and the world rejoices because they're dead. And then God raises them from the dead. And so here, these people die and they're raised from the dead. And so some people point out that in the Old Testament, there is Enoch, who never died, and Elijah, who never died. And so perhaps these two witnesses are Enoch and Elijah because of the statement in the Bible where Enoch will return,
right,
you know, at the second coming of the Lord.
I've heard that.
And Elijah went right to heaven in a fiery chariot without dying. So maybe it's those guys. And other people say maybe it's Moses and Elijah. But it doesn't matter all that much. It's good to look at the evidence and have fun with it.
Yeah, you know, it was just a fun topic.
Yeah, right. All right. Hey, anything else, Gary?
I just wanted to encourage you a little bit about getting people excited about the plot.
All right. So the plot. So you're okay. So the guy at work, the coworker, he's a Christian, and now he's getting more interested in reading the Bible.
He is.
That's the goal of Bob and Yart Live, to get the Word of God into people's lives.
And it makes me feel good. So.
Of course, because you're having an impact on him and maybe that knucklehead atheist you work with.
I got a lot of work to do with him.
Yeah, invite him to call in sometime.
I think I'm going to give him the Mount Moriah video. I have that, and I think I'm going to share that with him. He said he would look at it and watch it if I gave it to him.
Yeah, that's the evidence for the resurrection.
Yeah, I just hadn't got around to doing it yet. But
well, great. I'd do it before he gets killed by some drunk driver.
I know. I thought about that the other day.
Yeah, good. All right. Hey, Gary, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
God bless you.
Bye.
Goodbye. So, you know, you stretch people a little bit out of their comfort zone. Like my mother goes to this park next to Columbine High School, and there are two Columbine students, teenagers, who are making out. So she's inclined to go talk to them, but of course you're a little hesitant because, you know, just butting in unasked. But so you go and you do it. And then so often the results are positive, and Christians say, why hasn't anyone ever come to the Lord through my ministry? Well, you got to try. You got to open your mouth, for starters. Paul said, if we don't preach, how will they hear? And if they don't hear, how will they believe? So open your mouth. The Old Testament says, preach the gospel. Tell people. Let's go to Indianapolis. Jeff, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Howdy, sir.
I'm interested in a couple questions after I tell you what is currently going on.
Yeah.
I'm at a church here in southern Indianapolis, and I'll tell you what, my pastor has a son. He's 2 years old now, but at 9 months he was diagnosed with neuroblastoma.
Oh.
And it's a really rare form of cancer.
Mm.
And our church has just been busy about doing the Lord's work.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, we're praying for the child. We're praying for other families, not to mention the fact now we have one of the brothers in the church that was driving a bus. He's in the hospital with leukemia.
Yeah.
But we continue to pray, and we continue to move forward. Like I said, at 9 months, this boy was diagnosed, and I'll tell you what, the Lord's healed him. He's up and well. He's doing very good.
Hmm.
It's a pleasure. I mean, it's actually even kind of scary because the kid has a problem with his adrenal gland, and he gets a little bit too rough with everybody and has a really good time. And it's, I don't know, I mean, there's a whole lot of praise there for our Savior, Jesus Christ, the great physician, because I'll tell you what, if folks would realize that that's what Jesus really is, he's here to bless those that love him.
So, Jeff, are you saying that if you're a Christian, then you'll be healed?
No, I'm not saying necessarily if you are a Christian, you will be healed, because
okay,
that's promised. We're going to be healed, whether it be in this world or the next.
Well, in this world, as Christians, we all die.
That's correct.
Right? And so,
I don't plan on dying myself. I believe that Jesus is going to come back in my lifetime. I believe it.
Do you have any more? You know what? Christians have believed that for 2,000 years.
Well, I'm going to continue to believe it, and I'm going to live like the day is going to be today.
We should live like the Lord is coming back tomorrow.
That's
and
right.
Plan like he's not coming back during your lifetime.
Absolutely. I work a job just like you do.
Yeah, good.
I've got my life that goes on
so,
regular
could
times,
you,
and
could
I'm
you
able to leave tracks behind and share the gospel.
Well, that's great. And, Jeff, could you narrow it down more than your lifetime? Could you narrow it down? Like, how old are you?
I'm 30.
Okay, 30. So standard of living in America, the life expectancy, you should live about another 50 years.
Give or take.
You think Jesus will come back in 50?
I believe we've got a promise. I believe that the generation that was alive during the signing of the agreement in 1948, the very people, I don't care if they were born that day, I believe that the generation was alive, that there was
That promise would have ended in 1988, because in the Bible, a generation is 40 years.
Well, that can be argued. That can definitely be argued, and I would agree.
You know what? Hundreds of millions of people believed 1988 was it, because it was a generation after Israel became a nation.
I remember the countdown. I lived through it.
And
you were there, too.
And so many of those people are now dead.
There are quite a few, but I believe that
The apostles believed that Jesus was going to come back in a very few short years, right? They believed that. That's why they sold their homes.
Well, but the Bible says the generation will not pass away. I believe that means that those people...
All right. Hey, Jeff, we're going to have to talk about this. Let me ask you. Did the apostles think that Jesus was coming back in a short time?
They sure did.
Right. And do you have better information than they had?
No, I sure don't.
Right. So think about those two things, all right? Since we're almost out of time, we don't have time to go any further. But thank you for your call. Let's call in. We'll talk about all this more.
All right, great.
All right. My grandfather died about a year ago. And, oh, boy, I got to tell you his story. And he became a Christian just a week before he died. Real interesting. We'll talk about it sometimes. Bob and Aaron remind you to do right and risk the consequences.